Begin the current daf Masechet Nazir daf Nun Daled. Begin on the second line down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. That is, our Mishnah had mentioned many different items that if it's in the same oil as a Nazir, that he's going to become Tomei, and hence he's going to have to be Megaleach, cut his hair off, and start over his Naziris. One of the items mentioned, actually two of the items, was Ibrim in Hameis, a limb from either a dead person or a limb that was cut off from a live person, that had enough flesh, although not a Kazayas Basar, because then it would actually transmit Tumah because of a Kazayas Basar, but enough flesh that it would be able to regenerate what's called Basar Karo, then it's considered a limb in Halacha that it transmit Tumah in the oil. Now that was a Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish regarding, let's say the limb does not have Basar Karo, doesn't have enough flesh to regenerate. Moreover, it doesn't even have Etzem Kesayra, because if it had a bone the size of a barley corn, then it would transmit Tumah because of Mago Masa. So we know that if the limb doesn't have Basar Karo, it's not going to transmit Tumah in the oil. But what's the halacha? Could it transmit Tumah through touching and carrying, what's known as Maga Masa, even though it doesn't have Basar Karo, and it doesn't have Etzem Kisaira, or not? So Birchen holds it cannot, because it doesn't have Etzem Kisaira, so that's not going to transmit Tumah. Neither is it considered a limb in halacha for it to transmit Tumah in the oil, and moreover Birchen holds for Maga Masa, because it doesn't have Basar Karo. Whereas Rish Lakish, as a bird from a pasuk, holds that it actually does transmit Tumah. Now that's what the Gemara, Rish Lakish, was bringing a raya for his opinion, that he said that actually, as he said, there's Rachmona Rabbi. He says that there's a pasuk that clearly includes a limb, even though it doesn't have Basar Karo, that if you touch it or you carry it, it's going to transmit Tumah, and hence the Nazir is going to have to be Megalech. Where do you know that from? So we begin the first half, Rish Lakish is quoting two parts of this halacha, where it's quoted a braisa, which spoke about this in Perek Yutes Pasuk Tezayin that we spoke about in the previous daf, which spoke about the halachas of oil, had many different words and terminologies, apnei asada, b'chalal, cherev, avimeis, had some other, that all these terms were including halachas of tumas mes that apply to the category of oil. That's one way of transmitting and contracting tumah. Now, our Gemara continues with the second half of this halacha, which is where the proof of Rish Lakish is going to come from, where we're going to see that this later pasuk, as this is actually in the same parak over there, but it's in pasuk Yud Ches, that talks about the purification of someone that became tamei from a mess from a corpse, where, as Taisa explains, all the drashas of this pasuk that the Braisa brings are in the context of maga. Other pasuk was regarding oil. This one talks about the transmission and the contraction of tumah through touch. So the Gemara continues. Vilu gabenegia, however, regards to touching, Rabbi Huda says, Tanya learned the Braisa. And again, as we referred, this is a pasuk in Perek Yutes, pasuk Yud Ches, that the pasuk there begins, v'lokach ezav, so they have to take this type of a herb, this hyssop, it's called ezav, v'tavo v'mayim, and they dip it into water, ishtar, a pure man has to do this, v'ezav, v'hizal oil, and he sprays onto the tent, or v'alkol akelim, or all the vessels that are tamei, v'al nefashas ashahayisham, and all the people that are there. And as our Gemara quotes from this part of the pasuk, which is from the Braisa, and the Gemara says, Va'al hanageya be'etzemai b'chol, or whoever touched the bone, or in a corpse, or someone that was felled, or as the pasuk there concludes, Oiva mes, oiva kava, or if he touched a corpse, or a grave. Now that the Braisa says, what are all these terms referring to? And again, we're defining it based in the context of touching, because we have that other pasuk that already gave references to all the tumas of mes through oil. So on that the Braisa says, Ba'etzem, when it refers to someone that touches a bone, that's a reference to someone that touches a bone the size of a barley corn. Again, as we know from our Mishnah, that it doesn't transmit tumah in oil, but it will transmit tumah through touch. Then the pasuk says, that's a reference to ze'ever ha-nechlel menachai, as we explained in the previous daf, chal would mean that it's felled from something where it's connected, which is a living person, when that limb gets cut off, and but ve'imber lahalas arucha, but it doesn't have enough flesh to regenerate. Whereas we said in our Mishnah, for the limb to transmit tumah in the oil, it has to have Basar Karo. Here it doesn't have enough flesh to regenerate, but it will transmit tumah through touch. And this is going to be part of the proof, as in the next halacha, which is oivimes, or in a corpse, where, as we said in the previous daf, we don't need a pasuk to say that a corpse transmits tumah. Rather, it's a reference to ze'ever ha-nechlo minames. It's a reference to a limb that was felled from a dead person, which obviously is that ve'imboi lahalas arucha, that it doesn't have enough flesh to regenerate, because if it did, then it wouldn't just transmit tumah through touch, it would actually transmit tumah through the oil too. And then when the pasuk there concludes, the Gemara brings Amr Shlokish, he says, what does that come to refer to? Regarding the grave, Zeh kever shel avnei hadibur. That's actually a reference to a grave before the Matan Torah, before the Torah was given. Which, as the Gemara explains in Perek Habal Yavimtai, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that the graves of non-Jews, or similarly, the Jewish people before Matan Torah, that they didn't have the halachic status in the of the mitzvahs of the Torah yet, that actually they don't transmit tumah. Why? It says in the pasuk, "Va'atin tzayni tzayn marisi adam atem." When Hashem talks to the Jewish people, says, "You are Adam," which is atem kareem Adam. You're called Adam, and however, the non-Jews are not called Adam. So therefore, the tumah that comes from a mess is only for Adam, and that doesn't apply to non-Jews. Now that's why the pasuk here has to include that a grave will transmit tumah for a grave that's before, or in other words, regarding a non-Jew, because although that these are graves of not of Jews before Mount Torah was given, but still it will transmit tumah through touch. Here, that's what we're coming to include, where although, yes, a Jewish person lives before Mount Torah, or in the context of a non-Jew, where it's not going to transmit tumah of oil, but it will transmit tumah through touch, and that's what's being included in Oy Bekev. So that's the interpretation of that pasuk with all the different references, again, references to the tumah of a mess through maga. Now the Gemara concludes Rish Lakish's proof. Hi Avim in Hames Hechadami. This that it says, which we have this inclusion of the word Avimes, that it comes to include a limb from a dead person that got detached, and it doesn't have enough that it doesn't have enough bus or karo that it's going to transmit to through touch. What's the case talking about? Ida isbe etzmikisaira, if that limb has a bone the size of a barley corn, and that's how you're saying that's going to transmit to me through touch, but hainu hanegeh ba'etzim. That would already be included in the first drasha where it says in the pasuk, hanegeh ba'etzim, someone touches the bone, that it's going to transmit to me through touch. I wouldn't need to have an inclusionary term of oivemes to include the limb from a dead person if it has a bone the size of a barley corn. Of course, it's going to transmit to me through tumah, through touch, not because it's a limb, but because it has a bone the size of a barley corn. Ella de les be'etzim kesaris, says Rish Lakish. Obviously, he's talking about that the limb doesn't have a bone the size of a barley corn, and moreover, as we said, it doesn't have enough flesh to regenerate, because if it did, then it would transmit tumah through oil, not just through touch. And therefore, we see, v'afalachi, rachman rabbi, and still the Torah includes, since it's a full limb, even though it doesn't have etzim kesaira, it will transmit tumah through touch, and therefore that's clearly like Rish Lakish's halacha, not like Rabbi Eichanan, where you have a limb that doesn't have basa karo, even if it doesn't have etzim kesaira, it's included from the terminology of the pasuk of oivemes, that we see that a limb that doesn't have basa karo, and obviously doesn't have etzim kesaira, because or else we would have known them from a negeba etzim, is going to transmit tumah through touch. Now that amlach Rabbi Eichanan, I'm tell you, is not a proof. La'olam de isbe, I would tell you, of course it can't be less than etzim kesaira. The reason why this limb will transmit tumah through touch is because it has the bone the size of a barley corn. Now, v'im eino inin lemagoi, which you brought up a good point, Rish Lakish, where obviously it wouldn't have halachic relevance for the halach of touch, because that you would know, forget about the fact that it's a limb, but because of, like the pasuk says, hanegeh be'etzim, touching any bone the size of a barley corn, transmit tumah through touch, t'neyu inin lemasoi. But what it does teach you by repeating oivemes, that the limb is going to transmit tumah through touch, not just through touch. It's coming to include actually the halacha of masa, that when you have a bone the size of a barley corn, it transmits tumah also through carrying it. And that you only know from its repetition of the word oivemes, because from this pasuk you only know about touch. How do you know about carrying? That's from the repetition. But not that it's coming to tell you that even if it has a bone this less than the size of a barley corn, that it will transmit tumah through touch, not like Rish Lakish, which actually the Rush brings down that he's not clear about, according to Rish Lakish, what does he know that Etzim Kisaira is Metama through Masa, where he doesn't have that Oivemes to tell you that, because he actually learns Oivemes to tell you that even if the limb has less than the size of a barley corn of bone, that's still going to transmit Tuma through touch. So that concludes that discussion regarding this machlekes where Rish Lakish brought a raya from this. Rabbi Yisrael Yechon says it's not a raya regarding the machlekes of the Aver min ames or Aver min achai that doesn't have basa karo, even if it has a bone the size, the less of a barley corn. So then the Mishnah said regarding all those things that if you become tameh, which the majority of them were told about in the oil, the Nazir has to be omaza, b'shlisha, b'shvi, has to spray himself on day 3 and day 7 like any person that becomes tameh from a mess. And v'seisa, then he actually, as it wipes out all the days of Nazir he counted up until now, v'chulu, etc. He has to cut his hair and he has to start over again, fresh to his naziris. Now, Ibaylu, we did the following question. Hadik tani ad sheyatara, this that we learned in the Mishnah, that he doesn't start counting yet again, starting over his naziris until he first becomes tar. Question is, b'shvikoi, was that in reference to day 7? In other words, when you become tameh, so you start counting 7 days, and you spray yourself on day 3 and day 7, and then on day 7 you immerse yourself in the mikvah. So then you become tahar. So the question is, was it, when it says atshiyatar, was it talking about day 7? Now actually, the next 4 words, the Rosh and Tosfos take out these words, of ad ovid harav shemesh until he has sundown, where, although the purification process you need sundown, but the relevance that we're talking about over here is actually that you are tahar in the sense of starting over your new naziris, which has to be in the state of tahara. Umani, and therefore who would our Mishnah be going like? Rabbi Elazar, he would be going like Rabbi Elazar that we quote on the Yud Ches Amud Beis, that he interprets when the pasuk says v'kidish es reisha b'yemahu, that after that you finally purified yourself, then you'll sanctify your head on that day, meaning to start over your new naziris. It means b'yem taglachasai, on the day that you cut your hair, which is on day 7, that's when you start already resuming that day your new naziris. So is that what it means, atshiyatar? Which that's one level of the purification that you have? Oidilma b'shmini koy, or maybe it's a reference actually to day 8. Umay atshiyatar, what does it mean until you become pure? Atshiyav kabanaisa, which that's the conclusion of your tahara on some level, which is when you bring your karbanas. Umani, and then who would our mission be going like? It would be going like Rabbanan he, who they interpret the pasuk of a kiddush esreisha b'yemahu, that after he purifies himself, he sanctifies himself on that day to start again, fresh his new naziris. It means on the day that he brings his karbanas, which is the day after day 7. So who is our Mishnah going like when it says atshiyatar? So the Gemara says, Toshana, the Ketani Seifa, we can bring a raya from what we call the Seifa of our Mishnah, which is actually the next Mishnah we're going to quote on this daf, which is the Seifa, because our Mishnah spoke about the things that Nazir is Megaleach, and this coming Mishnah are going to say the things that he's not going to be Megaleach about. He doesn't have to do over his whole Naziris. Where the Mishnah says, regarding all those things we're going to say, Maschal Amoyin Miyad. And that there, he starts counting immediately. Which, again, those are things that the Nazir doesn't have to bring a carbon of Tumah, although we say he has Tumah, he's not Megalech and to have to bring his carbonus. Now, Horesha, the inference is, but the Resha, meaning our Mishnah, my Atshiyatar. Why there it doesn't say that he starts counting right away, meaning although the coming Mishnah will see, he can't count the days of his Tumah that he's waiting to become tar, but the moment he becomes tar, he starts counting right away. It doesn't say there atshiyatar, it says he starts counting right away. Our Mishnah says atshiyatar until you become pure. Must mean atshiyavu karbanaisim, until you bring your karbanis. Umanin, who's that going like? It's the Rabbanan, he must be going like the Rabbanan. The Amri, that they say, Naziris to Tahara, Shmini Lechaila, that the new Naziris that you have to start over, it is only from on day 8 that you can start counting. And again, because if not, then actually you should have said, Maschal Moin Miyad. When you become pure, you start counting right away. But it doesn't say that. There it says, Maschal Moin Miyad, because you don't have to bring a carbon on day 8. So on day 7, that's when you start counting right away. Again, there is a difference, we'll see besides that, about is it Seisr or not. The cases of the coming Mishnah, you're not Seisr. But the point is that you start your counting, whether it's a new counting or the same old one. Point is, there it says, right when you become tar, it doesn't say that even, it says Maschal Moin Miyad, but we know it's only when you become tar, and our Mishnah doesn't say that Maschal Moin Miyad, it says that Atshiyatar must mean that it's something more severe than the coming Mishnah's cases, where although there it's on day 7, because there's no carbon on day 8, so everyone would agree it's on day 7, here that says Atshiyatar must mean on day 8, like the Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Elazar. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah that says, Avol, however, all the coming cases that we're going to say over here, there the halacha does not apply of Nazir being Megaleach, and it's not going to be Seisr Naziris, although that there is halachas of Tumah applying to these things, there it doesn't apply, whether because it's only situations of doubt, or because there are rabbinic injunctions, or because it's part of the halacha Meshmissin of Nazir Megaleach, these halachas don't have that halacha. As the Mishnah says, however, Haschach is Vahaprois, which the Gemara will explain exactly what they are, but generally, what it means is haschachis is that lashon of mesach, which is like a covering. Where if you have a tree over ground, meaning covering over the ground, and there's tumah under one of the branches, and you don't know that a person walked under one of the branches, doesn't know if that was the same branch that was in the same, so to speak, oil as that mess. So too, that's the case of Schacha. So too is Parois, which if you have bricks that are sticking out, covering over, they're coming out of a wall, and there's Tumah under one of the bricks, and he walked under one of the bricks and doesn't know if he walked under the same brick that had the Tumas Nazir or not. So regarding these things, although we possibly will consider him Tameh, but as we'll see, these are not things that the Nazir is being Megaleach. So to Beis HaPras, which that's a reference to a field that had a grave, and then the field was plowed. So the Chachamim were concerned up until the area of 100 Amah that maybe the plow went and dragged the bones in this larger area of 100 Amas, and maybe there's still a bone the size of a barley corn which transmits Tumah. So yeah, if someone walks in that field, possibly he touched the bone or he carried it. So therefore, there, although rabbinically he becomes Tameh, but since it's only rabbinical halacha, there it's not going to have this halacha of Nazir being Megaleach. So to the Eretz Amim, which is the land outside of Eretz Yisrael, which is the lands of the nations, where the rabbis, as it says in the Masechta Shabbos, after Tezvav Man Aleph, decreed a Tumah on their lands, or v'ha-goyil v'ha-doifik, which Rashi Masechta's Ksubas and Avdala Mabez explains that goyil is a reference to the covering of the coffin, and doifik is a reference to the side walls of the coffin, or v'revias dam, where if it's just a quarter of a leg of blood, not a half a leg that we said in the previous Mishnah, or v'ayil v'revat samis, or in the context of an oil, but there's only a quarter of a kav of bones. Again, as we said, that's a reference to oil, because in regards to Magamasa, we actually said that there it would apply the Tumah and affecting a Nazir. But here we're talking about in oil, and there's a quarter a kav of a tzamis, and that is, although regarding transmitting Tumah in the oil, actually a quarter of a leg of blood or a quarter of a kav of a tzamis transmits Tumah. However, that's what we have mentioned previously, that the Nazir, however, is not Megaleach on them until they're a half a leg or a half a kav. Now, truthfully, Tosis points out that the Mishnah should have said not just a quarter of a kav or a quarter of a leg, but rather actually anything that's less than a half a leg or a half a kav, that it's not going to make the Nazir be Megaleach. It's just to pick a quarter of a kav or a quarter of a leg, because those are the measurements specifically in Masechtas Alis that says that actually they do transmit Tumah in the oil. But although they transmit Tumah, that's still not going to make something that the Nazir has to be Megaleich on them. Moreover, V'kelim ha-noigim emes, regarding utensils that touch a dead person. Now, the reason is because the Torah says, ki yamus meis olav. Regarding the Nazir, it says that if he'll come in contact with a corpse, so the Torah says it's only with regards to a mess, but not kelim that touch a mess. Where although he's going to become Tumah, it's not going to make him be Megaleich his Naziris. And ubemei sifroi ubemei gamroi, which this is a reference to a Nazir that counted, he's counting his Naziris. And during his Naziris, he becomes a Mitzayra. He has a Nega on his body. Now, whether it's during what's called yemei gamroi, which yemei gamroi, Taisa explains, are when he's Mukhlat. There's three stages, essentially. There's yemei hasgeroi, when he's sequestered, where we're not sure, is this going to be? We have to wait and see if this is a Mitzayra or not. Then there's Yimei Chilute, when they conclude and they say that he is a Mitzayra. So even during those days, when he's going through his period of being a Mitzayra, and he's Tameh, or whether Yimei Sifrei, which that Tosfos explains is actually after the period when he was already Hochlat, after he experiences Tzaras. And then as the Pasuk says, V'ra'a Kohen, the Kohen sees V'hini Nirpa Nega Menatzerua, that he's healed, his Nega went away, the Tshuva, whatever it is, then he has to bring Tziparim, he has to bring his birds, and his Megaleich, he cuts his hair. Then he could go into Machne Yisrael, but for 7 days he has to stay outside his oil, because it means to say he's forbidden to his wife in marital relations. Then on day 7 he cuts his hair. On the 8th day he brings his karbanos for his tzaras. Those days are called Yimei Sifrei, which that's part of the days he has to wait for his purification process. So whether it's during the days of when he is Gamrei, when he's a full-fledged Mitzayra, and he's Tameh, or whether it's during Yimei Sifrei, where he's still not totally pure, but he's ready, the neg is gone, he's ready on his purification process, which is called Yimei Sifrei, al elu ein ha-nazir megaleich. Regarding all these cases that we mentioned in the Mishnah, the Nazir does not have to cut his hair. Now, actually, Tosfos points out that's not going on what we just mentioned of the Mitzvah of Yimei Sifrei and Yimei Gamrei, because actually he does have to cut his hair, but that's just because it's halacha related to his tzaras, but it means regards to everything else. The regards to the halachas of a Nazir Tameh who generally, as the Torah says, has to cut off his hair and start over, that doesn't apply to these people that became Tamei. And however, Umazah b'shlish or b'shvi, however, whoever these people that became Tamei, whether Beis HaPras or Eretz Amim, but he does have to spray himself on day 3 and day 7, which again, Tosafot points out, that's also not going on Yimei Gomer, Yimei Sifrei of his Saras, because actually he doesn't have to be sprayed on day 3 and day 7. That's not because his Tumah is not because of Tumah's mess. Rather, it's going on all the other ones regarding Revi's Dam, the Geil, the Daifik. So, although you don't have to be Megaleach, but you are Tumah, so you have to count your 7 days and get sprayed on day 3 and day 7. That's your Ketan Tumah Beis. Now, another difference is the Ein HaSeiser HaKoidmim. Whereas, when we said in the previous Mishnah, what we call the Reisha, we said when the Nazir becomes Tumah from a mess, so he has to cut his hair, and moreover, all the days that he counted up until day, till now, let's say it was on day 23 out of 30, he's got to start all over. Here, although that you're Tamei, because you're in the Beis HaPras, again, because these things are not, either because they're not included in the Halacha Mishnah Misina, because they're Suffolk, or because they're Rabbinic Tumah, so therefore, although we're not going to count those days when you were Tamei towards your Naziris, it's stunted, it stops, it's static during those days, but it doesn't demolish and erase all the days that you counted up until now. It's not Seisra Zakadman. And Umaschal Umoyde Miyat, and you can start counting right away, resuming your count of your Naziris immediately when you become Tahar. And because of a carbon analy, as we said previously, there is no carbon. So although, let's say, the Mishnah we said was going like the Chachamim, Achi Atar from the ratio was until they ate when you bring your carbon, here there's no carbon. And because you don't have the halacha of a Nazir being Megaleach, so therefore, on day 7, when you become Torah, you can start resuming your count right away. So if you stopped on day 23 for your days, for your 7 days that you were Tamei, you don't count. Then when that's finished, on day 7, you can start counting again, day 24, during 25, and so on until you finish your 30 days of being Naziris. Now, moreover, there's actually a higher level. But Emes Amru, in truth, they said, Yimei HaZava HaZava. If let's say a Nazir is, whether he's a male or female, has Ziva, which is a certain emission that comes out of the body, which makes the person Tamei, or V'yimei has Gerish HaMetzairah, or the days when a Metzairah is just in lockdown, he's sequestered, where it just stays the same, or it actually becomes lighter, and hence that then he doesn't end up becoming a Metzairah. So although there is certain levels of Tamei regarding both of these cases, the Mishnah says, HaRe'elu Oilnoi. Those days of your Tamei Ziva, or of Yimei Hezger Metzairah, it actually counts towards your Nazir. So let's say for 7 days you were May Hezger of a Mitzvah, or you had the Tumah of Ziva. So let's say you got on day 15, you can count those 7 days till day 22 and keep on counting. So there's like so far three main categories that we saw. We had the previous Mishnah which said even what you counted gets erased. Then we had the first cases in this Mishnah which said the first days that you counted doesn't get erased, but you have to stop during the days of Tumah, but there's no carbon and it's not Seisra as a Kaidman and you don't have to bring a carbon. And then there's even Zava and Ziva and the days of Hezger, of Metzairah, where actually you could even count those days that you're Tamei and keep on counting with them till you finish your Naziris. Now the Gemara quotes a Mishnah Masechet Tzalos to explain the first two cases of our Mishnah that says, Ve'elu hen ha-schachis. What are the halacha of schachis? It's ilan ha-mesech ala aretz. It's a tree that's hanging over the ground. Now, moreover, is that the branches are separate from each other. Now, there's a kezias, there's an olive-sized piece of a corpse under one of the branches, and we don't know which one it is. And he walked one under one of the branches, and he doesn't know, was he under the same oil, which is the branch that was the mess, and therefore he's Tamei, or not. And so to the other case, ufrois, what is that? That's avonim, that's hayyotzis min hageder, that comes out from the wall. Where similarly is that there's a kezias from a mess under one of the bricks, and he doesn't know under which one. And it's talking about, as the Rush points out, that obviously the bricks are tefach wide. Because that's as the Gemara says in Perek Dam Anida at the end, that someone that goes underneath an area that has, that he knows for sure he went under, that has a width of a tefach, and he's in the same under the same brick as the corpse, he's going to become tummy. Now, here, it's just that again, that there's ear between the bricks, and the Nazir went under one of them, and he doesn't know if he went under that same brick that the mess was or not. So Rush points out that it must be talking about that the tree or that this wall are sticking out over the area of Rishus HaRab, the public domain. Now, there's a general halacha that's called Safek Tumah B'Shus Rab Mistarif. If you have a doubt if there's Tumah in the public domain, then the halacha is that we're going to say it's Tahar. Now, the Chachamim, however, made a gzera, like in this case of the tree or the bricks from the wall, that the person is going to be Tumah. So that's what our Mishnah is saying. Although that you're Tumah, you have to count day 3 and day 7, but biblically we consider you Tahar. So that's why it's not Nozim Megaleach and so on. But says the Rash, if let's say this was talking about a tree in Rishus HaYachid, or the wall was in Rishus HaYachid, then actually biblically there would be Tumah, and hence it would be says to his Naziris, and he would have to bring a carbon, as clear from the next parak in the beginning of the parak of Shnei Nazirim, where clearly that then you would be says to your Naziris. So our Mishnah says that it's not, must be talking about that it's hanging over an area of Rishus HaRabim, hence that Tumah is only rabbinically. And one of the cases mentioned in the Mishnah was the Eretz Amim, where if you have land, the land of out of Eretz Yisrael, where there the Tumah in going out of Eretz Yisrael is rabbinic. So therefore we said that you're not going to be Megaleach, but you're still going to become Tameh. You have to count day 3 and day 7, but again, you're not Seisr as a Kaimin, and you don't have to bring a carbon, and then you continue your counting. Now, Ibai Elohe did the following question regarding this halacha. Eretz Amim, the land of the nations. Mishum aviru gazru leha. What was the decree that the Rabbanan made regarding their lands? Was it their airspace that was decreed upon? In other words, that just going into the ear of Eretz Amim will transmit Tumah to a person, even if he's not, so to speak, mahil, he's not leaning over their lands. What would that mean? How can you go in their airspace without being over their lands? For example, let's say you go in a sealed carriage or a box, or an airplane, whatever it is, that contains 40 saw, and such a thing, such a carriage or an airplane, is not makabel, not makabel tumah, because if it's mem saw, it's chaytzeitz bifnei tumah. It actually separates, it's considered its own domain, and it's not considered like you're over their lands. So even was it even then that it would go through tumah? Idema mishum gusher gazrolau. Or maybe was it that it was because of the gush, the substance, the land, that they were gazer on the tomb of Eretz Amim. And therefore, it's only if someone is leaning over the land without anything interposing between him and the land, then it's like he's leaning over a corpse, then that's when they said the tomb. So what was it? Was it the aver, or was it only the gush? So on that, the Gemara says, Tashma, bring it right from our Mishnah. We said, regarding all these cases in the Mishnah, although you're not going to be Megaleach, and it's not going to be Seisiz Naziris, but you are Tameh, whether because of a doubt or rabbinically or whatever it is. So you have to spray yourself in the Paraduma ashes on day 3 and day 7. Now that says the Gemara, V'yamet Mishum Avir, if you would entertain, which one of those cases in our Mishnah is, Eretz Amim, that it transmits Tumah to a person because just being in the ear space, nothing to do with leaning and hanging over the land that's beneath you. So then the question is, Hazal, Lamali, then what would be the purpose of being sprayed? In other words, because since we're saying according to this opinion that even if you go in something that is chaytzis, like a sealed carriage that's flying over the ground, still you're going to be tameh. Obviously, that the reason why you're tameh when you're going to Eretz Amim is not because of a real tumah, because there's no tumah. What are you getting tumah from? There's no tumah in the ear. It's maybe in the ground something there is, but you have something that's separating between you and that tumah. Must be, says the Rash, a stringency that was imposed rabbinically because they wanted to discourage people from leaving Eretz Yisrael. Now, if that would be the case, then what would be the purpose of spraying him day 3 and day 7? You're not Tumah Tumas Mes. Rabbanan said you're Tumah. So that wouldn't mandate Hazah. Elalav, so rather, says the Gemara, must be Mishum Gusha, must be that no. The reason why the rabbi said that whoever goes outside of Eretz Yisrael will become Tumah is because of the land that they decreed. It's as if when you're leaning over that land, as if you're leaning over a corpse. Now, the reason being is because out of Eretz Yisrael, they're not careful to mark where the graves are. So we have to be concerned wherever you're going, maybe there's a grave there and you're being mal over the mess. So it's then that, it's for that reason that you need a hazah, because maybe, and this is a rabbinic concern, that you actually became tamed from a mess. Now, hence, that would apply, essentially, only when you don't have something chaitzitz. So that seemingly answers the question that Tumas Eretz Amim was because of Gusha and not because of Avira. And therefore, if you're in a closed thing going over the lands, you wouldn't become Tameh. And that the Gemara says, Loi. No Raya from our Mishnah. Why? I would truthfully tell you that the tum of Eretz Am was even just by being in the airspace. Now, the Chikar Tani, when we learned in our Mishnah that you have to be mazah for all those things that we said your tummy in our Mishnah, day 3 and day 7 was Asha'ara. What's going on in the other cases? In other words, yes, Tumas Eretz Am was mentioned to tell you that you're not slaves as a kaidman and you don't bring a carbon. But regards to this halacha that you have to be sprayed day 3 and day 7, that was regarding Revius of Dam, a quarter of a calf of bones, and all those like that. But it wasn't going on the case of Eretz Amin. And the Gemara actually says, Hochinam Mistaber. It's not just what's called like a Deichig Teret. Actually, it makes sense to say this interpretation, that it's only going on the rest, and it's not going necessarily in every case. Because Minigitani, from the fact that we learned in the Mishnah, one of the other cases was, V'kelem ha'noigim emes. When there's a vessel that's touching a corpse, and the Nazir comes in contact with that, so then he's not going to be Seisus Naziris, and he's not going to have to bring a carbon, and so on, whatever the halachas of the Mishnah are. Now the question is, Hani kelim b'nei ha'zo'inun, which literally translates as, these utensils mandate being sprayed on? What that means to say is, a person that touches these utensils, do you think he has to be sprayed day 3 and day 7? But you can't say that, because the mess, the corpse, is an avi avrei satoma. Then the utensil that touches the mess becomes just an avatoma. It gets every time the transmission gets downgraded one step. So it comes out that the person who's touching an avatoma, he only becomes tame for one day, which is called Tumas Erev, just for the evening. Where, because as Taisa explains, especially according to the interpretation of Rabbeinu Tam, that it sounds like from our Mishnah where it just says any kli that you touch, even what's called kli shatef, even if it's not a metal kli that touched the corpse, which makes it only into avatoma, not like the chel, not like the cherev, which is the same tuma as the mess itself, and therefore any person that touches it is only tuma tumas erev. So how are you saying that you have to be sprayed day 3 and day 7 when a person touches a avatoma, not an avi avatoma, he's only tame for one day, not 7 days. It's only if you touch the corpse itself. So how can you say that you spray in day 3 and day 7? So obviously, this halacha being sprayed in day 3 and day 7 is not on every case of the Mishnah, as we can prove from Kalim that are noigim b'mes. So therefore, that's the same thing that the Gemara is answering. It's no raya from our Mishnah. Could be Eretz Amim is also going to be tummy as because of the Aver, not because of the Gush. Now, although then it's seemingly the Gzeri is not because of coming in contact with Tumah, it's just because the Rabbi said you're going to be tummy. So why do you have Mazah Shalosh and Shvi? It's not going on the case of Eretz Amim like we proved from Kalim and Noigim Emes.